Blog Talk Radio.
Follow putting windows down.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
And the truth that is rooted within me.
Isn't that an awesome piece of music? Thank you, Mary Radonte, for writing and singing that. For those who haven't heard her speak about Mary before, she was at a series of workshops out in Berkeley, California last year, 2 years ago now, I guess. And she wrote that song after the workshop. She actually wrote several songs based on the work and gave us permission to use it as our theme song. So welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. We've got some interesting weather here. It's absolutely beautiful in the Ozarks in southern Missouri. It's probably about 78 degrees and sunny, absolutely gorgeous. And I'm actually sitting in a car at a golf course. We just finished playing 8 holes of golf. The foursome in front of us was a little slow, so we had to skip the 9th hole in order to get back here to do the radio show. And Jeannie should be joining us shortly. I'm not sure whether we've got anybody else on the line with us at this moment. And if you're trying to call in and are having trouble with that, Jeannie's got some problems with her computer getting on right now. So we'll carry forward, and we'll hope she joins us shortly. Jeannie, are you with us by chance? No? Dr. Tim, David, are you with us?
Well, that
sounds
Tim
like I'm
here
on my own.
Oh,
Tim
is
there,
with
sir.
Us.
How's
it going?
Oh, and there's Jeannie. Awesome to hear your voice. Beautiful day.
Awesome. Is it warmer now?
It's warm. Well, sitting in the car, it's very hot. On the course, it's a little windy and just a little on the cool side.
Yeah.
Especially
cool.
When you get
awesome.
The chair. But it's a beautiful, beautiful day to be on the course. And, of course, spending the time with Michael J. is awesome as well. So, Dr. Tim, tell us about your workshop yesterday.
Well, there's lots of noise there. Can you hear me?
Can you put your phone on silent? Jeannie, could you put your phone on silent? I think you did.
Okay. Well, we're doing quite well here. It's a sunny but cool day. We don't have 78 degrees or anything close to that. We'll be lucky to hit 60 today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and yesterday was pretty much the same kind of day, a little rain in the morning, but a nice group at church, somewhere between 50 and 60 people, and then for the workshop, probably somewhere between 15 and 20.
Awesome.
For the Why Again workshop, and it was very well received. It's very powerful work, and I did the 12-step worksheet because that's the one that we use in the support group.
Right.
Most often. I sent them home with the 7-step worksheet and the instructions for how to get the download and your book chapter from the website. So they have plenty of material to follow up. And so we're spreading the news, and there were 6 different people that I was aware of in the audience who were so involved in the worksheet process that there were tears. So it was very, very powerful work and seemingly well received, and just a blessing to be able to offer it.
It's awesome to open that kind of space for people in a short period of a couple of hours, isn't it, Tim.
Yeah, it's just, it's potentially life-changing for those who pick up the tool and keep using it. And as we know, that's what has to happen for the change to be significant and lasting. So it's
It does have ongoing application of the tools, for sure.
And it was just a wonderful experience. Of course, you've been to that church probably 5 years ago. And,
right.
And done the White Workshop. And I'm not sure if anybody who was there was actually there 5 years ago, but very well received. It's just it's a wonderful energy in that church and wonderful group of people. So thank you for the opportunity and the tools and for the support. And I'm working on the audio recording of the talk, which was probably 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and of the workshop, I made an attempt to video record it. I don't know how large that file is going to be or what it would take to compress it to make it available, but we'll see.
Oh, maybe it's something you can burn to a DVD.
Yeah, we'll see. And if,
awesome.
If it can be done, I will make sure you get a copy.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Well, it's exciting. That's your first full Y workshop, right?
Yes, that's the first time I've done it just freestanding with that title in that format, where it basically mimics the format that I've seen you do so often.
Right. Fabulous.
And of course, it has a little Guy Finley story in there somewhere and some other things that make it slightly different flavor, but essentially it's an hour of intro and then an hour and 20 minutes of here's how you do the worksheet.
Fabulous. Well, I'm sure I've shared the story with you as to why the worksheet went to 7-step from that 12-step.
Yeah, it's the thing in Hawaii, eh?
In Hawaii, yeah. Yeah, it was a result of that. So, and I find that the 7-step is comprehensible in one sitting for people, enough for them to continue to work with it. But, and it's exciting to see the number of Y workshops that are having. Rex just did one recently in Lansing, Michigan, Rex Montague Bauer. And actually, there was a fellow there who's done a lot of my work over the years, the last 30 years or so, 25, 30 years. And he said it was just about as good a presentation as I do, which is awesome. Congratulations, Rex. And next week, Nene will be in Hollywood, Florida. You can go to our website, and there's a copy of Nene's flyer on the website. So she'll be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again next Sunday in Hollywood. And Jeannie and I will be in Greensboro, North Carolina, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we're doing a full week over there. We'll start on Sunday morning at the Unity Church in Greensboro. And then 1 until 4:30. Actually, I think it's 1:15 to 4:45. We'll be doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again at Unity Greensboro. And Monday night on Creating Consciously, Wednesday night Healing Through Relationships. No, let's see. Not sure what the order is. I'm sitting on the golf course. I don't have the order in front of me. But anyway,
I can tell you.
Oh, there you go. Jeannie's there. She's got. I know Friday we're doing codependence to interdependence.
Sunday is Why Is This Happening to Me Again from 1:15 to 4:45. Then Monday night's on Creating Consciously. We skip Tuesday night because there was so many other things going on at the church. Wednesday night is, of course, the miracles. What is the world? Thursday night's Healing Through Relationships. Friday night is Codependence to Interdependence. And then Saturday's Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll be in Greensboro. If you're in that area of the world, we'd love to see you next week. And then we'll head to Florida. We'll be, I guess, our next event in Florida will be St. Petersburg, Florida. And then over to the other coast to Pompano Beach. And, it's on the website, Pompano Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton. And, of course, we have the invitation to join us in honoring Memorial Day. for the 100, and I'm not sure what the number is, but we've been every day inviting everyone who listens to the show to become part of the team that changed the world. How are we going to change the world? Well, we're going to reach a critical mass of people who every day will be willing to look at, we'll be looking at excuse me, but somebody just walked up to the car to ask a question. They're wondering what happened to our golf game. Excuse me. So the Memorial Day celebration is about inviting people to pick up the tool of forgiveness and look at some area in their lives where they have some form of hostility or fear, and with that hostility or fear, be willing to forgive. And not forgiveness in the old Greek sense of the world, the pretend forgiveness where you let other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you, but the real thing, the real going inside yourself, facing whatever it is that's happening inside of you and changing it, removing what never belonged. And so our invitation to you is to join us in that process. Be part of the team that changed the world. And we're going to bring a shift on planet Earth that will move us and begin to shift us out of conflict, out of war. Why do we have conflict? Because inside of us we have some form of hostility or fear that we're not willing to be responsible for and change. Eradicate that and you've eradicated war. Join us. And beyond that, Dr. Tim, did any particular question or thought or point come up for you yesterday that would be relevant for us to speak of today, to begin to talk about?
Well, one of the themes that came to me as I was preparing for the talk was the need to have the proper tool for the job. And the idea, you've talked about it in different ways, that if I'm going to accomplish a challenging, difficult job, and I try it with the inappropriate tool, it's not going to be too long before I make the determination that this job simply can't be done. But if I'm introduced to a proper tool, then I'm just blown away by how quickly and easily the job can be done, comparatively. And so I think, you know, for many of us, we've spent so much time in our lives being entirely frustrated by the job of trying to manage the output of our mind or our perceptions. And I think the only possible reason for that is we simply haven't been given the tools. We haven't been shown how the process really works, and we haven't been given the appropriate tools for managing the output of our mind and creating a more loving, compassionate experience of our time in this life. And that was one of the themes I hit in the talk. The other one was I told a story from Guy Finley's work where a spiritual teacher takes his class of students to the art gallery. And it isn't too long before the event happens that he just knew would happen. It always happens when he goes to the art gallery. They walked around to a specific exhibit, and there was a woman there talking about a very, very large painting and instructing a group of four or five people about the color, the shading, the paints that were used, the perspective, the balance, the beauty, and how it's all created. And as she spoke, because she clearly knew a lot about the technical aspect, or at least seemed to, more and more people gathered. And the more people that gathered, the louder she had to speak for the ones in the back to hear her. And eventually there was a sizable crowd, and she was giving what amounted to a lecture. And one of the museum workers had to come over and ask her to keep quiet because she was disturbing other patrons, and she flew into a rage and started screaming at him that she must be allowed to speak, and he certainly must not know who she is. And as she was raging, the crowd dispersed. and she railed at the museum worker. And the spiritual teacher turned to his students and said, okay, who got the lesson? And none of them did. So he said, all right, well, I'll tell you the lesson this time so you can look for it in the future. He said, the lesson is that this woman knew everything about beauty and balance except how to be beautiful and balanced.
Yeah.
And this work is about restoring us to our awareness that we do have that within us and removing everything that's less than that love and that balance and enjoying the results.
Yeah, it's really interesting as you talk about the idea of how people haven't been given the tools. You know, there's a section in the book called Life Without Tools. And when you recognize that these tools have been clearly, clearly, clearly delineated and understood for over 2,000 years, or almost 2,000 years, you know, the root of the forgiveness tool that we're offering people is almost 2,000 years old, documentable. Now, how long before that did they understand it? I don't know for sure. But I do know that in the Aramaic, they knew 2,000 years ago exactly how to change the content of the human mind. And it's amazing when you think that thousands, millions of people over the last two millennia have studied and searched and pored over those teachings and still tell people that forgiveness is about letting somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside of them. And you wonder, what is this the result of? Is this the result of people just weren't very bright? Is it the result of some sort of a conspiracy to keep it quiet? I mean, how is it that here we are almost 2,000 years out and we know exactly what forgiveness was? It's how you go inside yourself and change your hostility, your fear, remove it and replace it with love. How is it for 2,000 years that's not been found? It's like it's mind-boggling. And the manuscript that we're working off of is a copy of the oldest known New Testament in its original Aramaic language. And the Aramaic language, interestingly enough, is the root language of six of the world's major religions, at least six that we know of. And my offering to people is that it's not the root of six of the world's major religions because it's a religious language. Because you take a look, and the religions are still floundering around murdering each other without forgiveness. And without forgiveness, that's the only result that can happen. Without the actual tool, when one plays the game of pretend forgiveness, you did this to me, it's all your fault, but I'll let you off the hook. Whatever it is that's going on inside of me is exacerbated by that, is expanded by that. And when I function out of it, as the young lady in the museum raged and screamed and dispersed her own crowd while blaming the museum operator, so people disperse the people in their families with their rage and fear, and they wonder what's wrong with them, having no idea that the energy they engage in is what sends those people who want to, who desire to, who long to be close and connected with them, it's their own energy that sends them away. Because we've not been taught how to change the interior content of our own minds. And it's just, you know, as I sit here and really contemplate in the context of your comments, Dr. Tim, and contemplate how has this escaped us for 2,000 years? What has happened? And, of course, if you go back to the ancient Aramaic, you might remember where they said, do not be molded by the world or you will end up moldy. Of course, it didn't quite go like that. But in essence, it said, if you buy into the world's hostilities and fears, then you'll think that a hostile or fearful mind is a reasonable thing to have, and that it'll properly guide your life. And, you know, they said in those ancient teachings, there come a time when the whole world would be fooled. And that's pretty much what we've gotten to. people have yielded up and given up their human lives, the actual presence of the awesome love, the stuff they're made of, they yield up and give up for an insane world. And so the project that we have in front of us is to bring awareness of actual true forgiveness instead of pretend forgiveness into the experience of every mind, heart, and being on the planet so that one can live a life. Now, of course, if one's been in a world filled with hostility and fear, you know, pretty much 24/7, 365, it seems like that's some kind of a fantasy and some kind of an impossibility. Folks, if you live in the world and you're sitting there right now saying, Rice, you're crazy, saying that I can live without hostility or fear, I beg to differ with you. I invite you to just for a moment consider that you might be in error. But, as Albert Einstein said, you can't solve a problem with the mind that created it. You can't solve a problem at the level at which the problem was created. And so, if you create a problem out of a hostile, fearful mind, don't expect your hostile or fearful mind to be able to solve that problem. You're going to have to return to the true mind of a human being. And what is a human being? Well, if you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human being is. When you are willing and have the tools with which to throw out what is unlike that human life that you have, then whatever everybody else is doing in your world, you'll stand in the space of connected love. And that's what we're here to support and inspire you to do. Jeannie, do we have any callers or any conversation in the chat room to be aware of? Hello, Jeannie. Have you got your mute button on, sweetie? Are you not with us? Have we lost you? Maybe we've lost Jeannie. Oh, well. So, Dr. Tim, does that bring any thoughts forward for you? You know, if you were to do an assessment from where you sit, 35 years of psychological practice, 37 years, I think, you've been doing what you're doing, what's your take on where did it go? You know, why didn't Freud, Adler, Jung, why didn't these people know with precision, the way it's been known for 2,000 years, how to change the content of the mind? What happened?
Well, I think the easiest answer for that is that the actual translation was lost and obscured through, as you've discussed, the movement from one culture to another and the movement from one language to another. And I think people like Jung did a remarkably good job of reinventing the wheel and
yes,
closer to the mystical hidden process than many others. I was prompted to say during my talk yesterday that, you know, for the first 50 years of my life, I had not been exposed to the concept that everything I was experiencing, I was creating with the choice of my conscious awareness and what I was going to focus it on. And it was an absolute shock the degree to which I could apply that observation and make radical change in my experience moment to moment. And I've been all the way through undergraduate school and multiple trainings at state and county government levels for therapy and corrections work and behavior modification, and I'd been through the doctoral clinical therapy program and a number of years of postdoctoral education from leading experts, and never come into contact with a tool that this direct, and the application of that basic observation that's applied so relentlessly and efficiently that it literally gives me the power to create my experience in each moment. So, other than the fact that it was just lost because people who know these truths are actually set free, as we've been warned, And that's not what people in power want as an end result. They want people who are in fear and hostility so that they are more easily manipulated.
It amazes me when I read a professional journal or just a magazine article that you'll see here and there when we have different professions and the helping professions, and they're recounting a conversation with someone, and the professional asks the question, well, how did that make you feel? Like something outside of us could cause something to happen inside of us that wasn't already there, and that which was happening outside of us was the cause of what was happening inside of us. Where an accurate question would be, well, what feelings did that bring up for you? Because when we see that an event brings feelings up, it doesn't cause feelings, then we have the opportunity, of course, to begin to shift and change those feelings, because the cause of those feelings is not outside of us. As you say, when I start to make conscious choices instead of just running the old unconscious dynamic, everything begins to change. And so what we're working to do is to create critical mass to bring this forward into every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And by the way, if you have a question for us, and I don't know if the chat room is up and operating all right. We seem to have lost Jeannie at this moment. But our call-in number, if you have a question.
I'm here.
If you have a call.
My cell phone went dead, and I had to call back in. And actually, Spencer's in the chat room, and he typed in there and said, Michael's just asking you a question. But I said, okay, I had to dial back in. I'm here, but there are no questions going on right now. Everybody's just listening.
Okay, well, our calling number, if anyone has a question about anything we're saying, you know, if something about this doesn't make sense.
Somebody just held their hand up.
Okay, well, let's give the number out so that anybody else that wants to can get a chance to call in. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We absolutely love to bounce off of your questions and to support you in understanding these tools and moving to a new place in your life. So let's welcome our caller. Area code?
718. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Lisa, and I'm calling from New York.
Awesome. Glad you're here. How are things in New York? Is it starting to get a little chilly up there?
Yes, it is, but the weather is beautiful. It's still very sunny over here.
Awesome. So how can we support you today?
It's interesting. Everything you've been saying is really resonating with me.
Fine.
Just going through a lot right now, and I just wanted to know if, you know, health-wise, I'm just, like, getting over a allergic reaction. That's been somewhat frustrating, but I've just been kind of taking it in stride and just trying to heal myself naturally and trying to center myself. I just kind of wanted to know if, you know, I wasn't sure if you could see anything on me or pick up anything, of anything you think I would need to know. As far as guidance goes, I don't know.
Well, my highest guidance for you, Lisa, we do a different show than what Carol Guy does, where Carol kind of taps in and does readings. That's not exactly the direction that the Mind Shifters Radio goes, but we can assist you in a whole different direction, and that is, if you want to go to our website, which is www.whyagain.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
And if you tap into the first four links in that Download Worksheets section, if this conversation is making sense for you, what those four links will do is it will give you the whole story of internal forgiveness, how you change the internal dynamics that result in the diseases that we experience, whether those diseases be physical, mental, or emotional. And how to remove the energy behind those dis-ease processes. In this work, the thesis is not that there's some bug out there that's trying to get us that creates our diseases, like disease is an entity, but rather a lack of ease, dis-ease, is what creates cellular disturbance that reflects as what we tend to think of as physical diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And starting to look through the eyes of everything being energy, then you see that there's certain qualities of energy that are helpful to engage in and certain qualities that are not. And the invitation is, as you experience yourself as a human being, and to define a human being, just think about holding a newborn child, and you know exactly what a human life is. And so to experience your humanness, and if hostility or fear comes forward, to recognize that those things are disintegrative energies in the essence of things, and that they're all changeable, they're all removable, and the forgiveness process is how you go in and remove those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just found it while you were talking.
Awesome. On the right-hand side, you'll see four links. One of them is the new chapter 24 for my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And you are welcome to download the whole book free online on the website. But if you download that chapter 24 and read through it, that'll give you a sense of the forgiveness process. The second link is an actual worksheet, a step-by-step how do you forgive. The third one is actually a recording of a radio show that we did a couple of months back, and it's an awesome example of exactly how forgiveness works and exactly the kind of results you can expect when you engage in the forgiveness process. So that third link will give you an actual MP3 of a radio show that you can listen to. And the fourth link is another radio show where we walk a gentleman through a worksheet. And so each of them comes at it from a different direction, so there are different lessons and different understandings to be had from each of those two MP3 links. So you'd certainly be welcome to do that. And as you navigate around the site, you can spend weeks and not find every corner of the site, and around every corner there's another piece of gold for the support of the self-healing process.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you so much. This is exactly what I was looking for, because I asked myself the question, why is this happening to me again? So
I feel so blessed the universe reserved that title for me. It's such an obvious one.
Yep, very much so. I just wanted to, you know, just make sure I'm doing the inner work. And that's why I called, because I said, you know, this resonated with me, so let me just ask a question.
Fabulous. Well, download those four, start to work with them, and as you go through them, you know, we're on the show 5 days a week, and so at any point you have a question or a difficulty with the worksheet, you're certainly welcome to call us, and we'll assist you with that. And if there's a step on the worksheet as you're doing it, you go, gee, I'm not sure exactly how this one works, do the best you can with it and move on. There are actually several tools embodied in that worksheet process. And as you use the tools, you will tend to have greater and greater clarity of mind in how to remove that which never belonged.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Right, have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Have a blessed one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What are we doing right now?
Okay, we have another caller.
Fabulous. Let's go for it. Welcome.
All right. Area code 509. You're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from? Area code 509.
Hello.
Are you with us, 509? You're on the air. Not sure where area code 509 is, but come give us a name and tell us where you're calling from.
Hello.
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 You want to tell us your name and where you're calling from? And you can speak a little closer to the phone and be a little louder.
Hello.
Who do we have? You're on the air. We can hear you.
Hello.
We can hear you. Go for it.
Hello.
Hi there.
Do you want to give us
Sandra.
Where you're calling from?
I'm calling from Benton City, Washington.
Oh, hi there, young lady. How are you? This sounds like Sandra Kittle.
I'm trying to figure out all this technology. I had an earplug. And anyway, so good morning. Your show is great.
Good morning, and welcome to the show.
I have a question. I have an opportunity to do forgiveness process with a naturopath person that I'm working with, who has patients who are interested in connecting their power of their mind and the physical manifestation of their quote-unquote diseases. And
right?
I would like to have you talk about the process of, like, my grandchildren brought home a bug from school. I got it. My husband got it. But if I'm not a body, who's throwing up? And how does that work, that disintegrative energy?
Okay, good question. So first of all, let me just introduce Sandra for those who don't know her. Sandra Kettle and her husband teach this work out in Washington State. Used to work with our work in Arkansas. And then, let's see, where were you next?
Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Imported us there a couple of times. Last year we went out to Washington State and spent some time working with them. And have an awesome support group out there. So anybody that wants to join the support group there, it's on our website and a link to it. What night is it that you meet, Sandra?
It's on Wednesday nights in the Tri-Cities, which is Kennewick and Pasco and Richland. And we meet at 7 to 9, and it's an incredible group. The energy is high.
Awesome. Fabulous. So this thing called disease, let's see, how can I best explain this? Have you seen the film The Gods Must Be Crazy?
No, but you can tell me about it. I may have. It's probably an old film, right?
It's an old film. It's awesome. It's a fabulous film. Actually,
okay.
The Gods Must Be Crazy and The Gods Must Be Crazy Too. One of the few films with a sequel where the sequel is as good as the original. But it's a Down Under film. It's down in Australia. And one of the stars in the show is this Aboriginal who's, you know, never seen a white man, never seen a civilized action in the world. And through a whole series of events, to make a long story short, he ends up traveling with this group, and there are some kidnappers who've kidnapped a bunch of children from a school. And the kidnappers are, you know, they're trying to catch up with him and figure out how they're going to get these kids back. And the Aboriginal is an expert tracker, so they're tracking these people. And one of the people in the tracking party has a telescope and sets his telescope up on a tripod. And those who understand the telescope are, of course, looking through the eyepiece of the telescope and studying the actions of these people who are so far off in the distance that they're just a speck to the eye. And so, of course, the Aboriginal gets kind of excited about, you know, what's going on with his telescope. He says, well, you know, I want to see. And he looks in it, and he steps back, shocked at how in this little long tube you could put all these people that he thought were way off in the distance out there. And of course, in his primitive mind, he looks in the looking glass of the telescope, and they're inside the telescope. He does not understand. Now, if we had 1,000 Aboriginals looking in the telescope, they could have all kinds of conversations about how, you know, the big fat man that was the leader, you know, is walking from one side of the telescope to the other and one end to the other, and it really looks like that's what he's doing. But he's actually 2,000 yards off in the distance walking across in front of a campfire. And the Aboriginal says, how did you get that campfire and that fat man and those other 30 kids and those other soldiers, how did you get them all inside that telescope? And he'd be talking trash. He'd be talking something meaningless, senseless. And we, being as modern as we are, would look and go, oh, what a silly fellow. He just doesn't understand what's going on. And so here we are in our modern world with what we think is all this knowledge, and we look in the telescope, we look through our body's eyes, and I put the word body in quotes, and through our eyes, our telescope, our brain, shows us something that isn't true. If you were to be able to look truly, if I were standing in front of you, Sandra, and you were to look truly at me, you would not see a body. If you could look past the telescope called your mind at who was actually standing in front of you, you'd see this whirring mass of electrons, protons, neutrons, and light. You know, if you listen to Einstein, he says this: on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. And then a fellow named Max Planck says this: as a man who spent his entire life studying matter, I can tell you this much. There is no matter as such. So here we are, relative to Einstein and Max Planck, we're the aboriginal looking in the telescope going, well, what's going on with this body? And they're saying, well, actually, I've studied matter my whole life, and there is no such thing. And what Max Planck says is, what we've called matter is a series of nested frequencies, one nested within another, within another. So to the degree that you can right now, forget your telescope and forget your body's mind and all the pictures and images it shows you. See me through your higher eye and see this whirring energetic field. Now, relative to this whirring energetic field, certain things belong in the field, certain things do not belong in the field. Those things that do not belong in the field are called disintegrative. If I put them into a particular part of the field, that part of the field is going to become distorted. It's going to become misshapen in terms of its energetic pattern. And so if I put that energy in, I've put a disintegrative energy somewhere in this energetic pattern, and the energetic pattern is distorted. Now, in the same way as when the fat man that we're looking at through the telescope walks from one side of the fire to the other, the Aboriginal says, well, how did you get that fire into this telescope so that man could walk from one side to the other? Well, we know that they're not in the telescope. We know that he's way out there in the distance. We who know, and there's something different going on. So one of the first big pieces in being able to understand the process of being an energy system is you got to let go of what you think you know and the insistence that what you know is true. As long as the Aboriginal stands there saying, I see them in the telescope, they must be in there. Let me go and look at the other end and see if I can see them from there. As long as he keeps insisting that what he knows is true, then he's never going to understand that this is a looking glass and that they magnify and it brings them in closer. Well, in precisely the same way, as long as I keep insisting this must be a body instead of a series of nested frequencies, I'm going to try to understand something that can't be understood because what I'm trying to understand simply isn't accurate or true. It's all a mistake. So once I understand that this is an energy system, if I nest a frequency that doesn't belong and create a distortion, what happens is my system is going to say to itself, it has a thing called immunity, and that is whenever a nested frequency tries to come in that doesn't belong in the system, my system is going to try to find a way to throw it off. So let's say the nested frequency, let's say it's a chigger bite. So a chigger comes along and bites my arm, and what happens? Well, it injects a frequency, it nests a frequency in my tissue structure when it bites. And my energetic structure says, let's go to that site and let's forcibly eject that toxic energy, that nested frequency that is not good for us. So we get this welt that comes up, and it looks like a welt on the skin. But what's really going on is, energetically, my immune system is saying, we've got a frequency coming in that's a threat to us. We're going to expel it. We're going to spit it out. And so the immune system throws that off, and that ends up as a welt that isolates and keeps that toxin from the chigger from going deeper into my energetic system. Now, let's say that I nest a frequency called arsenic, and I nest it through my what I call my mouth. Now, again, this is an energetic pattern. If I put arsenic into my mouth as I swallow it, my energy system is going to say, arsenic, not good, does not belong, must projectile vomit, get it out of there fast. And so energetically, my structure is going to say, pardon me, I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to throw this off. If that arsenic, let's say, got far enough through my digestive tract, let's say it was arsenic sitting in the middle of a ball of whole wheat bread, and so the bread goes through the digestive process, and the bread isn't disappeared from the outside of the arsenic till it gets to the large intestine. Once that frequency of arsenic is let loose in my large intestine is going to say energetically, oh my God, there's a frequency that's trying to nest here in our colon that does not belong here. Hey, send me all the flushing water that you can and let's expel this. And people call that diarrhea. But it's just an effort of the structure, the energetic structure, to throw out what doesn't belong. Now, as long as everything we see with our eye, we believe, we're in the position of the aboriginal looking in the looking glass. We're seeing things in a way that is not true. Although, because we observe them, we are sure it must be true. And it's not true. Our mind presents to us pictures of things the way we expect them to be. And if that expectation is out of harmony with truth, then what's going to occur is that we're going to see things that aren't true. Now, let's take one more example. I take in, let's say I live on the SAD diet. You know, it's been proven over the years that the human field can basically handle just about any dietary regimen on the planet. I mean, you can go into, you know, Alaska and, you know, the natives there feed on whale blubber. You can go to Mexico and rice and beans. And people do, you know, relatively well. There's only one dietary regimen that on the long haul, whatever population comes to that dietary regimen and eats it, dies more quickly of degenerative disease. It's called the SAD diet, the standard American diet, the only diet on the planet that consistently proves to kill people because it is filled with nests frequencies that don't belong in the structure. And the frequencies are not so urgent as arsenic that the body says, emergency, let's get that out of here. It's more like the chigger bite, and it's like, whoa, we need to isolate this. We need to do something about this. So if I have nested over a period of decades these toxic frequencies that are put into our foods, you know, let's use an example. If you buy your toothpaste at the grocery store, the drugstore, I don't care what grocery store or what drugstore, in the standard grocery or drugstore section, about 99% of the packages, if you haven't looked at your toothpaste package recently, go look at it, say on it, if you swallow this, call poison control. Now, what that obviously means is this, which we're suggesting you put into your mouth at least 3 times a day, and by the way, the buccal surface of the mouth is about one of the most absorptive surfaces of the structure. So we're suggesting you put this poison in your structure 3 times a day. If you swallow too much of it at once, it's going to create a crisis called poison control. But if you just do a little in your mouth 3 times a day, it'll just poison and kill you slowly. That's in essence what's being said. So someone who's toxifying themselves with that poison toothpaste, they're using a shampoo that if you start researching, there are chemicals that cause cancer. No. They're using a cream rinse. They're using, you know, they're taking foods with this chemical and that chemical, and it's been sprayed with this and it's been sprayed with that and it's been genetically modified. Then what happens is this energetic system starts to crack apart and break down. When something starts to crack apart and break down, it puts off certain frequencies. They're called putrid smells. And what we call decay bacteria have antenna structures attuned to those putrid energies. And their designation in the energetic system is to clean up whatever's putrefying. So if we get a new bacteria in a particular community, you know, we say everybody in the community was healthy until just yesterday when this new bug came into town. Excuse me, everybody in the community was not healthy until yesterday when this new bug came into town. They were in a state of degeneration, and there was decay going on within them. And it's easy to tell, you know, if you check out, you know, the mouth or the eliminative organs of the body. You know, if it smells like something crawled up inside of you and died, it's because it did. If there's death and decay going on there, and somebody introduces a new organism into the family system or into the community, what will happen is, because decay is what these organisms feed on, that bug will move from person to person to person to person. And it'll say, I've got a home. There's a food supply. I like warm, damp places. Gee, here's a body that's 98.6 degrees, or maybe only 98.3 degrees, which means there's part of it, that's part of the degenerative process going on. And I love these warm, moist places, and look at all the food I've got. Yippee! And I will multiply so rapidly, I will create millions of offspring in minutes. And, you know, as this body tries to throw me off, just like the skin did with the chigger, it creates an exudation that tries to throw off that toxic or that disintegrative frequency. Well, let's say, for instance, that toxicity hits the lungs, then the lungs are going to start to go and try to throw that off. Well, all of a sudden now we have millions of offspring of that decay bacteria, and cough into hand and hold hand of person in front of you. If the person in front of you has a similar decay process going on, and they happen to put their hand to mouth to nose, and all of a sudden those organisms move inside and go, let's set up home, let's produce more, then they say that that particular bug was contagious. I offer the bug was not contagious. The bug simply went where there was a food supply. And we don't, we're not a place where decay, where death is supposed to be happening. And the way the system is set up is that wherever decay is happening, a cleanup crew is called in. It's automatic. A message goes out, a literal vibratory frequency goes out, and anything with an antenna that matches that frequency will be attracted there and set up house and set up dinner. And the energy system, when it realizes that there's an acute crisis going on of something starting to digest those disintegrative nested frequencies, will say, okay, if we've got enough vitality, we can start to throw this off. Let's open up the lungs. Let's open up the bowel. Let's make this person sweat. Let's make this person cough. Let's open up the sinuses. Let's take everything we can and throw it off. We're never going to find a cure for the common cold. You notice that you hear all these ads about how we're going to suppress the symptoms of your cold. When someone says, can you suppress the symptoms of my cold? What they're saying is, would you please stuff this mucus and garbage back in my body? Does that make sense? No. What a naturopath would say is, let's open the eliminative channels. We know how to open those channels so that this elimination process the energy system is doing can be accelerated. And so let's support it in doing that and get through this crisis. If somebody comes to me as a naturopath and says, Michael, I have this whole horrible cold. Can you help me stuff all this stuff back in my body? I'm going to say, well, first of all, you don't have a body. And secondly, no, I'm not going to help you stuff it back in. I'm going to show you how to open the eliminative channels so that those frequencies that have been nesting in you, you can throw off more easily and have left only the frequencies that belong in your structure. When only the frequencies that belong in your structure are in your structure, you've got health. When nested frequencies come along that don't belong, you have disease. If there is not enough vitality to throw, let's imagine disease at level one. If there's not enough vitality to throw disease at level one off, then the tissue will degrade to level two. If there's not enough vitality to throw up level 2, level 3, level 4, level 7, you get to about a level 7 or an 8, and you now have somebody with deep degenerative disease, emphysema, cancer, blah, 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 and on goes the list. And if one is going to heal, then one's going to have to strengthen the immune system and the eliminative channels to throw off what does not belong in order for healing to occur. Does that make sense of your question?
That opens up an opportunity to address that I letting go of everything I think I know, and having
awesome.
having spirit teach me because of, if I'm not a body, why do I look like a body? Why do I have a head and two arms and the people that my mind sees look like me on this planet with two arms, two legs, a head, and a body? Did we all just agree?
So my offering to you is you don't have two legs, you don't have two arms, you don't have a head.
Right.
No such thing exists.
Yes.
If we could see what was actually there. Again, when the Aboriginal says, how did you get that fat man and that fire and all those 20 kids and those other 15 soldiers, how did you get them all in this little tube? That's not, how did you do that? Look, I can see them. They must be there. He doesn't know what's going on. Our brain produces pictures out of something that's not made of pictures. And it produces pictures according to what is resonated in it. Now, if we take someone and put them into a deep state of hypnosis, and we're getting down in time here to completion, but, and we can continue this conversation tomorrow, but if we get somebody and put them in a deep state of hypnosis, which means the uncritical acceptance of an idea, I can hand them an ice cube and tell them that it's a red hot coal, and their hand will burn.
Correct.
Now, obviously, an ice cube can't burn your hand, but something can. What is it that burns the hand? And this person, when I say this is a red hot coal, will look at the ice cube in their hand, and they will not see an ice cube. They will see a glowing red coal. They will see a picture of something that isn't there. That's called hypnosis, the uncritical acceptance of an idea. The ancient master said trance end. That was put an end to the state of trance. Get out of the state of hypnosis and wake up to who you are. Pictures aren't usually true about anything in the world. The picture maker, and you think about this world of bodies, and you think about hypnosis. If you've raised children, which I know you have, how many times did you put your finger to your nose and say nose? How many times did you point to your eye and say to your child, eye, hair, ear, chin, lips, nose, eye, eyebrow, you know, eyelash, ear? How many times did you do that? That's hypnosis. We've passed on a series of pictures that aren't true about what's there. And that would be akin to our Aboriginal. Now, somebody's told them a whole story about, you know, how they bring all these, you know, this fire and this fat man and the 20 soldiers and the 20 kids, and they pack them all in this little tube and tells them a whole story. And so he starts explaining to all the other Aboriginals how, you know, the fat man and the fire, they're all in this tube, and they develop a whole culture and a whole belief system that, oh, well, you know, they're all in the tube. And, you know, the 2, 3, 10, 20, 30 generations later, they're still talking about and looking in the tube and going, yeah, see, the fat man and the fire, and they're all in there. And we're living in a story. The thing that tells us that we're living in a story that isn't true, is there any form of hostility or fear capable of being produced in this system? Everything based in hostility or fear is not true. And so when we decide to forgive and remove that hostility and fear, the pictures that aren't true start to disappear. And we're down to about 20 seconds. So I'm going to invite you to call tomorrow with some other questions that tie in, and we'll see if we can clarify this on the next level.
Fantastic.
In the meantime, I invite you to have the best day yet of your eternal life, leading to the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday from from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.yagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.